Good morning, everybody. Oh, thank you. Good morning. How are you doing? That sounds better. That sounds live this side. Good morning. How are you? Wonderful. Wendy's really good with dates. She went on a date with me. But she's really good with dates. She reminded me this morning that today, 52 weeks ago, New and Shofar started coming together. Amen. Okay. Tomorrow would be the exact date, but this would be 52 Sundays ago the two congregations started meeting together. So praise God. Amen. Aren't you excited about what God has done so far? Shofar? Shofar, show good. Okay. Daddy jokes, you have to laugh. It's such a privilege for us to be part of this household. We think it's beautiful and it's wonderful. Today I want to, a while ago we did some connect the dots and just sort of caught up with what the Lord has been busy. This morning I'm just going to attempt, as we are praying into what God is doing and directing us into next year, beginning with Convergence, where the greater Shofar movement's coming together, and obviously there will be some direction where the movement is going. So this is this time of the year that we want to start thanking God for all that He's done and that He's still doing. But we also want to start looking ahead what God is calling us into. Niels mentioned that on the 29th of October, we're going to have a Vision Sunday where we will start putting forth what we feel the Lord is leading us into. So that's very exciting. I don't know how you feel about vision. I love vision. Amen. For a lot of people, they just see vision, fresh vision, as more work. But I believe the word of the Lord that says where there's no prevailing vision, the people perish. And is that scripture that Niels also read this morning, where people can't see what God is doing. They fall all over themselves. And then this beautiful part of the scripture, but when they attend to, not when they know, not when they have knowledge about what God is doing, when they attend to that, it means when they are doing that and involved in that which God is doing, they are most blessed. We sometimes think if we know what God's doing, we are blessed. You just know. But it's when, based on that knowledge, faith rises in your heart to the place that you can say, I want to get involved in what God is doing. Then you are most blessed. Amen? Not a great yes there, amen, but it's really true. It's in the Bible. Okay. So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that you are busy with us. Thank you, Lord, that we are a work in progress, and the good work that you have started in us individually and the good work that you have started in us corporately, you will complete and you will present us perfect on the day of Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you work all things together for the good, for those who love you and those that are called according to your purpose, God. So this morning I pray, God, that as I attempt to just bring us to a place of what you have done so far. Father, I just pray that you'll just remind us about one thing, and that's your goodness, that you are a good God. And Father, we want to thank you for your prevailing love. Thank you, Lord, that your love for us is never ending, God. And we can rest and rest assured in your great love. So Father, this morning as I share the word, I pray that faith will rise in our hearts, God. Faith will rise in our heart, firstly, to see that it is something that you are doing. And for that, we thank you. And we also thank you, Lord, for the things that you will do. And we want to start praising you for that and thanking you for that in advance, because you are so faithful that we can do that, in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's the wonderful thing of God. You know, we can thank God even before he does something, because he is so faithful that he will do. If God said he will do something, he will do it. And it's so sure and so assured that we can actually start thanking God ahead of time. If God said something, if God prophesied something, that we can actually start thanking God for that now. Not because we are faithful, but because he is. And that he would just wait for a people that would say, this is what God is doing and I want to give myself to that. And then in that we will be most blessed. Amen. So we can start thanking God ahead of time. I just want to start off by saying this morning that God has given you a will. God has given you the ability to say yes, and God has given you the ability to say no. God has given you the ability to agree, and God has given you the ability to disagree. Unless you are demonically possessed, you have a will that you determine what you do with it. Amen? So, many times when God says something, it is up to you whether you agree with it or not. If the word of God says that if we mix the word with faith, it will profit us much. The word alone does not profit us much. But if we mix the word with faith, it profits us much. So this morning I want to encourage us that as we listen to the word, that you would exercise your faith. You would exercise your ability to make a decision, your ability to exercise your will to agree or to not agree. Because to the extent that you agree with it or attend to it or give yourself to it is the degree to which you will profit by it. Amen? And this morning, what I love about Jesus is very real. I think there's a portion of the church that, you know, they don't want to face reality. So as soon as some people, if they are coughing, some people would say, well, I'm feeling a bit sick. And then there are people say, no, don't say you're sick. It's a negative faith confession. Well, if you're not sick, why would we pray for you? It might be a fact that you are sick. But the truth is that God can heal you. And I think a lot of people live in denial and they think it's faith. It's not. Jesus is very real. Jesus states the facts. But then over and above the facts, he states the truth. And it's fine for us to face the realities of what we face, because sometimes people think, oh, but you know, I'm struggling. No, don't say you're struggling. Well, if you're not struggling, why would you need help? I think it's fine to say where you are and then add a big but to it and say, but God. In the face of facts, there is truth that every time overrides facts. The psalmist David was, I mean, if you would go by that, David was a man that had very negative faith confessions. God, how long will my enemies prosper? God, how long will you not help me? He stated the facts. But somewhere in the Psalms, there's always this switch where he switches from himself and his own experience and his own explanation of the situation. And he starts focusing upon God and he starts proclaiming the truth of God over the facts that he is experiencing. So this morning, I also want to agree with that word of Tanya. It's such a true word. It's fine that we say, God, I'm really struggling and I'm really going through a hard time and there's struggles, and it's fine to do that. But if we stay there, if we stay at a place where we consider ourselves and our situation and the world that we live in and the country that we live in and the time that we live in, if we only become very good explainers of that, but we do not state the truth of God above that, we will become despondent. We will become fearful. We would become anxious. We would become tired and driven to despair. So this morning, as I'm going to share things with you, I want to ask you that you would see this through the eyes of God. And I want to start with, if you would go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. And I don't want to make this a whole sermon about the end times. But I do want to mention that I do believe that we are living in the end times. How did you enjoy the end of the world yesterday? I just hope that everybody that predicted the end of the world yesterday would just come out on Facebook and repent. I don't mind people making predictions, but you know, if you're wrong, be man enough to say, hey, I really missed that one. And not try and explain it away, but I actually meant 2024. I think we need to be careful what we say, because what we say projects a lot of fear in people. Okay, so this morning I don't want to project fear. I'm just going to read the words of Jesus. Okay. And he sat at the Mount of Olives. This is from verse 3. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of the coming of the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one lead you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. See, that is what God said. Jesus said, there will be rumors of wars and wars, but don't be alarmed. So Jesus is coming and he states the facts, but then he says also how we should respond to this. He says, do not be alarmed. When you hear these rumors, don't be alarmed. And you can this morning, you can decide when you hear rumors and you hear rumors of war, you can decide whether you will be alarmed or you will not be alarmed. And here is the command of Jesus. And Jesus says, do not be alarmed. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. This is encouraging. If you can say amen, hallelujah. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. These are the words of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus. So when we see these things starting to happen, we should not be alarmed, because Jesus prophesied and Jesus said they will come. But it's not the sign of the end. It's not the sign of the end. That is, Jesus clearly states this. It must happen. And like birth pangs, I've never given birth, but I've heard from Wendy that when birth pangs come, they increase in intensity and in frequency. And it also says, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. People, I want to say to you, this is the time clock of God. The church is the time clock of God. This gospel shall be preached to the ends of the earth and every nation, and then the end shall come. If you want the end time prediction, the church holds the end times in its hand. As long as we are sitting and not taking this gospel to the ends of the age, God will wait for another generation. It's grown quiet. This is the words of Jesus. This gospel shall be preached, proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We have no control over wars, famines, what happens in every other country in the world. We have no control over these things. We have control over this. We can go. We can go to the ends of the earth. And we can hasten the coming. We cannot determine, but we can hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ by fulfilling the Great Commission. Amen? And I believe that God is about to shift. And I think He's already preparing us for a shift. The last couple of months and the last couple of years, really, if you would just hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church with regards to this thing about that our identity in Christ and the heart of the Father, that He wants us to, and the song, He wants us to believe and be grounded in this fact that He is a good God. This morning we sang this song. A lot of the songs you'll hear, it's about a God that is good. And I believe that we need to be grounded in this, that when things happen, when tribulation comes, that we will not be swayed. We will not be swayed, but we will rest assured that we are serving a God that is good and is always good. I believe that God is highlighting over the last couple of 2-3 years just a fresh emphasis on the love of God, on what it means that there's a God that loves us unconditionally. There's a God that loves us fiercely. There's a God that loves us above and beyond that we understand. And I believe it's important that for the time that we are living in, that we must know that God loves us. We must realize that God loves us. We must realize that God is good. And we are grounded not in how good is God according to my circumstances, or how much God loves me according to what I can feel out of my circumstances. But there is a deep, deep groundedness and a rootedness in the love of God, and that God is good. Then it doesn't really matter what comes our way. Then it doesn't really matter when there's rumors of war. Then it doesn't really matter that things happen around us, that tribulation come. It doesn't really matter, because we are rooted and we are grounded in the love of God. That is what the Apostle Paul, when he prays in Ephesians chapter 3, he prays that they would have a revelation of the love of God, that they would be strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, that Christ will dwell in their hearts by faith, that they would be rooted in love and grounded securely upon love. I believe this is why God has been taking us on a journey through John about the love of God and the connection between love and obedience. And convergence is about where is the love, and B2G was about compelled by love. And God is telling us about these things because God is preparing his body. God is not just giving us information. This is not just Bible study. This is not just to acquire biblical knowledge or just theological knowledge. But it is God himself speaking to his people and preparing his people for the times that we live in. And sometimes these things are important things that we can gauge ourselves with. In Romans 12, it says that we shouldn't be conformed to the spirit of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And what is the spirit of this world? Sometimes we can gauge. I sometimes gauge myself to see, is the spirit of this world, is it grabbing hold of me, or am I really living for Christ? Because sometimes, because of circumstantial things, the things of this world sometimes grab a hold of us, and we don't even know why we think and act like we do. I want to read a portion of scripture from 2 Timothy. And this is the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, and he writes this: "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." There will come times of difficulty. You might feel this morning, Jan, you're really not being very encouraging. I'm simply reading the word of God to prepare you. Because we have been given, as the body of Christ, we have been given the ability to respond accurately to difficult times. So that when difficult times come, that we are prepared. That we are prepared, that we are not caught by surprise, that we are not flabbergasted, that we are not thrown to and fro by every wind of doctrine, that we are not thrown around by every circumstance, but that we are steadfast in the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 5, this is what the Apostle Paul says: "Now I really live." He says, as an apostolic figure, as an apostle of God, he says, this is the reason why I live. This is truly life for me. Not that he has a million churches in his network. Not that he has the command of power over churches. He says, "Now I really live that you are steadfast in the Lord." Steadfastness. Steadfastness in the Lord. That we should be a people that are prepared and understand the times that we are living in, so that we can respond accurately to the times that we're living in. Because sometimes this world and the spirit of this world just pours us into its mold. And because we do not think, because we do not filter everything that happened through the word of God, this spirit of this world causes us to make decisions and form habits of thought and habits of speech that is contrary to the word of God. And it causes us not to overcome. It causes us to be defeated the whole time. And that is why it's so incredibly important that we understand the times that we live in. But we also know what to do. It's not good enough. I want to tell you, if we just give one another knowledge of what's happening in the world, the thing that will happen is we will become fearful. But if we have an understanding that Jesus prophesied these things and he says, but don't be alarmed, don't worry. I've got you. I'm placing something in you. I've placed my love inside of you so that you can respond in love. I'm just going to give you something, just that portion of scripture that Jesus said, and lawlessness will be increased. And what will happen because of lawlessness increasing is that the love of many will grow cold. We all live in South Africa, right? Lawlessness, increasing or decreasing? I don't want to make negative faith confessions, but the fact is it's increasing. Lawlessness is increasing. What is happening? What is happening when lawlessness increases? I want to tell you that South Africans are so quickly polarized. Can I speak frankly? Not frankly, frankly. Stephen Lungo, it is so easy to polarize South Africans. One farm murder, black and white, those people. When lawlessness increased, the love of many will grow cold. Can we respond in love? Can the church speak words of forgiveness? Can the church not retain the sins of many, but forgive the sins of many? Can we respond in love that every murder and every bit of crime statistic is not a black and white issue? It's a criminal and a non-criminal issue. The fact of the matter is just that the majority of the people in South Africa, although as we look around there, this gathering doesn't look like it, but the majority of the people in South Africa are black people. But it's so quick. It's so quick that when lawlessness increases, we fall in with that. We fall in with that conversations. And the love of many will grow cold. When God has been speaking to us about the love of God and where is the love and better together that we are compelled by love. God is preparing us. God is preparing us so that when things happen, how will we respond? Will we respond in judgment or will we respond in love? Will we be the people of reconciliation, or will we be the people that is part of the polarization? Will we be part of the unity, or will we be part of the disunity? And God's preparing us. God's preparing us, and you have the ability. I want to encourage you that you have the ability when everybody else is polarizing our situation and polarizing our region and our nation. Can we be the people that speaks words of reconciliation? Can we be, when everybody else is saying, you know, that people and those people, can we say, can we just bless them? Yeah, but they don't deserve blessing. Neither do you. The word of God said, bless those who curse you. It says, pray for those. Pray for those who spitefully uses you. That is what the word of God says. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, love your enemies. How can we love people that we see as an enemy to our society? It's the love of God. It's in our prayers. It's in our conversations. We're not saying that murdering people is right, and we're not saying that criminality is good and okay for our country. But how do we respond when it does happen? Because Jesus said it would. Jesus said it would. He prophesied it. But he says, but you are my people. You need to respond differently. You need to respond differently. And I believe God is, whenever God teaches us something, whenever God takes us on a journey, my friends, it's never so that we will increase in knowledge. It is so that we will increase in understanding so that we can know how to respond. So that we can know how to respond. And whenever God teaches us something, it's not just for, oh, that you will be able to increase in knowledge, but he's preparing us because he's gonna do something that's gonna require us to practice what he has just preached. You know, at Bible school, you know, when you do the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you're always excited about the fact that you're going to do. I remember we were so excited we're going to do the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And one of the first fruit is patience. And then we pray, God, give me patience. And then God doesn't give you patience. He sends opportunity for you to exercise patience. In other words, things that previously would have made you impatient, he starts pressing on that thing that what is in me that causes me to be impatient. And he starts working the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So whenever God says something, God is up to something. God is not just about sharing information. And I believe that there is a shift coming. And if you look at the world around us, and I don't want to speak too much about that, but it's... I know some of you don't watch the news, but if you do, it's kind of tense at the moment. North Korea is not playing around. And I don't want to project fear, but that's the fact. I mean, they're shooting nuclear missiles. That's not going to flatten one city. If they release that on Japan, Japan is toast. And maybe because it's far away. I spoke to a guy in Japan yesterday, Siloam, that lead the church there. They say their nation, there's a huge part of their nation that's fearing now. That is so filled with fear because nuclear missiles are flying over their country. And they have this horrible thing that they remember of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So it's not, nuclear, is that really bad? It's very real for them. And a wonderful opportunity for the church in Japan to respond rightly. But if they're not prepared rightly, they will not respond rightly. And I believe that God is doing something. And God is preparing his people for a place that we will be able. That we will be able to respond in love. It doesn't matter what happens. And this morning you can choose. This morning you can choose based on what I'm sharing now to become fearful, or you can start thanking God. Thank you, God, that you are preparing us so that when it comes, I will be prepared. When it comes, I will be prepared. So, and we can decide, you can decide this morning to respond in fear, or you can decide to respond in faith and say, God, just come in. Come and work this work of love in me, God. Just come, God, come. I don't want to be one of those whose love grow cold. And that's one of the tests. If stuff happens that I don't agree with, it's really easy to love you guys. You're so easy to love, and I'm not making a joke now. It's really easy to love you. But you know, it's really hard to love people that don't know Jesus. But that's what we are called to do. We are called to love the household of faith, but we're also called to love the lost. And I know sometimes what they do and what they're involved in is scary and sometimes beyond what we can imagine, but that doesn't change the fact that Jesus calls us to love them. And that kind of love, this kind of love is easy. This kind of love is easy. He's so easy to love. Jesus is inside of you. And sometimes that's difficult for us, right? Now to love someone that's your enemy. To love someone that you don't like. That you heavily disagree with. And that I believe is what God calls us to as well. To love the household of faith. To love our brothers and sisters. By this the world will know that you are my disciples. That you love one another. And I believe that the Lord is also working this in the church. This beautiful work of unity of churches that come together, that's a sign of God releasing his love, that we are not divided from one another, but God is bringing us together and we can see the beauty of it. And leaders are not threatened that other people are visiting their churches because we start realizing that we are part of the body of Christ. And we start getting love and we start loving other churches. Where in the past you were warned against certain churches. I remember when we came to Wellington 20 years ago, the church that we started was considered a sect. And even when Niels and Frankie, when they came to Wellington to plant here, I was taken for a cup of coffee by one of the church leaders here and asked me, Jan, what do you know about the Shofar Church? I hear they believe really that the earth was created in 6 days. I said, yes. And I just left it there. And now, 7 years later, I mean, there's this beautiful love between the churches. People are working together. It's part of the work that God is doing. And we can celebrate that. And we can celebrate the fact that God is busy with us. But I do have the sense. I do have the sense that God's on the move. God's on the move. And God's going to do something. We've received prophetic words. We've received prophetic words. And we're moving into from a missional to an apostolic space. And so there's movement required. There's changing of thoughts. There's changing of how I see church and how I perceive church. There's changes needed because God's moving on. And He's always a God that moves on. Amen? He's always busy within us because He's got one mission, that you and I look like Jesus. And the only way that I'm going to become more like Jesus is if I change. The only way that you're going to become like Jesus is if you change. So change is a given. Maybe we should just start not saying we don't like change. Because I think a lot of people they say, well, I don't like change. But you're changing every day. You're getting older. And I know most of us don't like that. But change is inevitable. So we might as well start liking it. If it's so inevitable, instead of resisting it the whole time, why don't we just embrace it? And especially if the change is unto Christ-likeness, what a beautiful change. What a beautiful, man, any day that I look more like Jesus than yesterday is a good day for me. And any day that I look more like Jesus is good for you. Any day that you are more like Jesus is good for us. And I'm so aware of something that God is doing in the church that we cannot ignore. And if we ignore it, we're going to be found wanting in the day that we need to embrace it. And I was just reminded as it was just this week and past couple of weeks, the Lord has just been this thing about a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And I went to the book of Exodus and I went to the book of Numbers and I read about when God journeyed with His people. When God journeyed with His people, whenever there was whenever they sat settled and wherever they went for 40 years in the desert, every single day there was a visible cloud by day and a visible fire by night. And the visible cloud was the brilliance and the glory of God that was manifested in the midst of His people. And you know, I sometimes have this idea that, you know, the cloud and the fire sort of appeared at different stages and then disappeared. It says day and night for 40 years in the middle of the camp of the Israelites, whenever and wherever they encamped, the cloud was there in the day. And the fire was there at night for 40 years. And then I thought, but the Israelites weren't always obedient. You know, they sinned. They walked away from God, even in the midst of the fire. I mean, it said it hung over and everybody could see it. So it wasn't like a little flame. It wasn't like some little menorah that someone lit. And if you stood real close, you could see it. It was so that 3 million people could see it all the time. Can you imagine that? It started when they came out of Egypt. Even when they came out of Egypt, there was this, as they fled from the Egyptians, this cloud was there by day and the fire was there by night. Even when it brought a separation between the Egyptians and the people of God. And this presence of God, that is so important that we need to move when God moves. And it said clearly that if the Israelites, when the fire and the cloud was there, they stayed there. And when the cloud and the fire moved, they moved.
So we must be very aware of the presence of God. We must be very aware how the Spirit of God leads us, because we might be in a place, if we do not discern the moving of the Spirit, we might be left behind. The thing is, God decided when did He want to move. God, sometimes it was like a month or two, sometimes it was a day. Sometimes it was just an evening. And it was never a consultation with the people. What time would suit you? How does your program look? You know, how big are your kids? In the midst of kids being born, people dying, normal life happening, or as normal as it could get in the wilderness, God decided when. God decided when, and He didn't announce it 3 weeks in advance. The people saw one morning, they got up, they looked at the tent of the meeting. Something's funny. Where's the cloud? Where's the fire? Oh, there it is. Okay, let's pack. We got to go. Let's pack. We got to go. I want to ask you this morning, are you ready to move? Not when it's comfortable for you. Are you ready to move when God moves? Are you ready to say yes to God when you don't know the destination? When you don't know what the journey will imply? Are you ready? Are you willing to move? Because we are loved by God. He is a good, good Father. And therefore we are His sons and His daughters. He's got not one plan for evil, not one idea that will ruin our lives, that will destroy what He wants to do in our life. Everything that He does is good. And when He calls us to move, and when He calls us to move in the way that we think, and that the way that we express ourselves, and the way that how we spend ourselves, and the way that we live our Christian lives, are you ready to move when He announces it? The thing is, wherever the cloud and the fire column was, the present, it was a sign that God was manifest there. His glory and His brilliance were there. It was of such a nature that they could travel. It was guiding them. The cloud was not there for show. The cloud was there to guide them. The cloud was there. When the cloud moved that way, they knew it was that way. They could, even at night, they could travel, which in those times were never a good time to travel. In biblical time, to travel at night, in the desert, to travel at night with 3 million people. Just think about that logistics effort. I know we have Peter de Beer, but he would have struggled. Even he would have struggled maybe a little bit. 3 million people moving at night because of the light of the presence of God. And I believe, you know, maybe you're thinking, oh, you know, they were so lucky. They were so lucky. They had the cloud and they had the fire. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit resting inside of us. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have the coming on of the Holy Spirit. We have the manifestations of the Spirit. We have all of that. We have those that are the sons of, are led by the Spirit, are called sons of God. We have the abiding Spirit. Just like they had the abiding presence of God, we as a church, we have the abiding Spirit of God. And therefore we need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We need not be conformed to the spirit of this world. So therefore we do not follow the dictations of this world. We do not follow the trends of this world. We do not follow the principles and the dictations of this world. We follow the leading of the Spirit. And God is preparing us, and God is keeping on preparing us so that when He moves, that we will move with Him. The thing is about the moving of the Spirit is like the moving of the cloud and the moving of the pillar of the fire. It's not only the presence that moved, but also the provision. So it wasn't like, okay, I can stay behind. I can stay behind in the desert. There were a couple of tribes that tried that, that said, we're going to settle on this side. But the day they crossed over the Jordan, what happened? The manna and the quails stopped. When God moved with His people and the Ark of the Covenant over the Jordan, no more manna and quails in the desert.
So even those that thought that they could stay back in the desert because it's, at least I know desert living, I know what to do there, I know how to live there, I've adapted myself to desert living, they would have died. So when God moves, our very livelihood depends on it. And therefore we need, and it's so beautiful that it's never one person that set out. It was also always the people of God. Who of you have sometimes felt, I don't know where to go? Here's the beauty. I don't have to see every day. I don't have to have a fresh revelation for myself individually every day. Because I don't just know that I've been called by God, but I also know who I have been called with. So sometimes I don't know. But thank God, I'm surrounded by people that might know. So if they're going that way, and I'm not quite sure, but I know that God has called me with them, I just follow them. I just follow them. Because I know not only that I've been called, but I also know who I have been called with. So when they up and move, and I trust, and it's not just one person, it's not one person deciding the vision for the church, I can rest assured because there's another day that I might have a revelation. I know where I need to go, and they don't. And then we follow one another. There's safety in that. There's safety in the body of Christ. There's safety in the body of Christ. There's safety if you know where you have been called to. There's safety in when you have been added to a body of Christ. There is safety. Amen? And I believe that God wants to move us. So I want to go back to, and I'm almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. Now every now and again, if I really want to see if I'm still following God, if I'm still on track with God, I go and read that scripture. And a lot of people don't like that scripture because it sounds negative. But that describes the spirit of this age. And if I am called not to be conformed to the image or the spirit of this age, if I'm warned against that, then I go and look at that and say, my life, is it all about myself? Am I a lover of self? Is all that I do, even my Bible study, even my time with God, is it all about me, 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 me? Or is it also about other people? So it's good sometimes to look at scriptures. I know there's a lot of people that don't like to read negative stuff. But this is our test, people. If you want to know whether you are conformed or slowly poured into the mold of the spirit of this age, we need to ask that. Am I a lover of self? You need to ask you, am I a lover of money? How do you know if you're a lover of money? Because nobody, no good Christian will ever admit, I'm a lover of money. To see if you're a lover of money is just see how it affects you when you don't have it. If it affects your emotions that you can't operate, you know, it's like, and you're short of temper and just can't handle it if I don't have money, you must probably be a lover of money. Amen, Aina, hallelujah. Thank God this is conversions next week. Am I proud? Nobody would say that I'm proud. Okay, ask yourself, are you humble? Maybe that works better for you. Am I really humble? Am I teachable? Am I teachable? Arrogant. Are you abusive? Are you disobedient to your parents? All the parents said amen. Ungrateful. Ungrateful. What comes out of your mouth? What I love about the Danny Salk stuff that we've done, he said something, you have control over how many disrespectful conversations you're involved in. When people spend time with you, do they walk away and say, wow, really a grateful person. Wow. That person is so grateful to God. You know, I'm inspired by that person's gratitude. When I walk away from them, I feel like I want to thank God. Or is it just complaining, 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 murmuring, stating the facts without the truth? I don't mind. I don't mind that we are realistic and stating the facts. But only state the facts if you know the truth. Because otherwise you're going to be discouraged. Ask yourself, am I unholy? Heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, not loving good, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. What's the majority of your entertainment time spent with? The pleasures of this world or the things of God? We can tiptoe around this, or we can be serious and say, let's be honest with ourselves. If God would ask me to let go of some of my pleasures, to rather spend that resource, my time, my energy, my gifting towards something specific, would you be able to give it up? I believe the Lord's going to require that in this move. And you know what? It's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for your family. It's going to be good for your marriage. It's going to be good for the church. Why? Because God's good. Because God's good. Because God's our Father. Because God loves us. We're His sons and His daughters. And He's called us to love. What does love do? Love sacrifices. Love gives up for the sake of others. Love is not selfish. You see, here it is again, connected. This love is connected to what God says and what the Apostle Paul says about the spirit of this age and the times that we live in. For everything that is there, there is something in the fruit of the Spirit that counteracts that. So I believe that God's gonna move us. God's gonna move us, and it's your choice. It's your choice whether you're gonna move with God. Nobody's forcing you, nobody can force you. But I do want to encourage you this morning that we should be excited whenever God's on the move. Because whenever the cloud moves, it brings a separation between our enemies and ourselves. Go and read that. It causes us to walk in light, and it causes confusion to the enemy. That's what God did with the Egyptians. When the Egyptians followed the Israelites, the cloud of God came between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And on the Egyptian side, it was dark, even in the day. And in the Israelite side, it was light, even at night. And what did it cause? It caused confusion in the camp of the enemy. But it caused clarity and deliverance in the camp of the Israelites. So whenever God changes stuff and whenever God moves, it's good for us. It's good for your family. It's good for your job. It's good for your career. It's good for God. It's good for the church. It's good for your children. It's good for everybody around you whenever God moves. So I want to encourage you that even in the midst of when it doesn't really suit you, or it doesn't seem like a good time for you or your children or your career or whatever, when God moves, I want to encourage you. That's the best move. You trying to preserve what you have for safety and security, convenience and comfort will lead you into danger. Will lead you into danger. And what I'm so excited. So excited what God is leading us into. The revelation of His love, the goodness of God, the fact that He's our Father, the fact that we are identity as sons and daughters of God. And this good, good Father that loves us so much, I think is on the move. I think is on the move. And he's not left us unprepared. He's been speaking. He's been preparing us for a while. So I encourage you, if you haven't spent time about, you know, getting on board with some of the stuff and dealing with some of the stuff that will require you to make the shifts, I would encourage you to do so, because we want everybody to make the move. it's going to be good. Amen. It's going to be good. A wonderful season awaits us. So it doesn't really matter how the things in the world turns out. If it goes completely south or it goes great. It doesn't really matter. Because we are anchored in this. That we're simply following God. We're not following world trends. It's amazing how opinionated South Africans are about what Donald Trump does. I doubt whether he knows where South Africa is. But some people are, they get up in arms, you know. Do you hear what Donald Trump? Oh, look at Donald Trump. Oh, it's like, look at God, man. Yeah. Donald Trump's going to be, he can be gone tomorrow. Mm. Or stay on forever. You know, I don't know. It doesn't really concern me. Because I'm not a citizen of the American world. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. My king's never going to pass away. My king's never corrupt. My governance is out of this world. I live under the provision of my kingdom, not under the provision of this world. So it's so important. I think it's good that we say, this is where I am. But then I look to you. I look to you. Let's look and ask God. God, I want to be aware of what you are doing. I want to be led by your Spirit. So that I can be seen as a son of God. From whom the whole of creation is groaning with an eager expectation for a manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, the people that are led by the Spirit of God. They are not led by fear. They are not led by propaganda. They are not led by news articles, even if it's breaking Christian news. Who do we listen to? Who do we look to? I won't say what I want to say. No. Okay. Okay. I do want to... Yes, I'm going to say it. I want to say it again. That Jesus Christ and the church is the time clock of God. Not Israel. Not the Jewish people. Because it says, the time clock of God and this gospel shall be proclaimed to the end of the earth, and then the end shall come. For us, it's not to focus on what happens geographically. We need to understand what's happening in the Spirit. And we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Not by knowledge, not by propaganda, but by the Spirit of God. And if something like that is revealed by the Spirit of God, then we can take it up. But if we make that the basis of what we believe, it's a problem. And we will be disappointed, bitterly disappointed, by the things that we think is more important than the leading of the Spirit of God. Please don't go and tell people now that Jan doesn't like Israel, that he hates the Jews, that he doesn't believe that God's got a plan with Israel. I believe it is. But I want to say to you, if we put overemphasis on the importance of the role of Israel and we neglect the role of the church, God will just wait for another generation. Because who's going to preach and proclaim this gospel to the ends of the earth? To whom has that been given? Christians, the church, to the church. Now we need to honor what God has done and is doing through the nation of Israel, and we can certainly look at some things, but it should not be the determining factor of our Christianity. Amen. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your word that is yes and amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your words. Thank you, Lord, for the moving of your Spirit. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for the work of unity and love that you are releasing in your church and through your church. And we thank you for that, God. We want to continually be led by your Spirit. We want to continuously be led by your Spirit. And when you move, we want to move. We embrace the move of God. We embrace you taking us on journeys in you, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you will do everything, that nothing will be left out and nothing will be neglected if we simply follow you. Whatever is important to you will be important to us. Whatever you reveal belongs to us and our children forever, that we might do everything according to your word. Everything, God. So we thank you, God, for what you are revealing. We thank you, Lord, for what you have been revealing, not since last year, but since the beginning of time. You've just continuously been on this journey with your church. And we thank you for that, Lord. And where we have missed it, we ask your forgiveness, God. And where we have not done it, God, we ask your forgiveness. And I thank you, Lord, that you work all things together, even our biggest mistakes. You work together for the good, simply if we keep on loving you. So teach us how to love. Teach us how to love you, God. Teach us how to love one another. And teach us how to love the lost. Teach us, God. Thank you that you are preparing us as a body. I thank you, Lord, for the way that people love one another. I pray that we'll keep on doing that. We will look at the little foxes. And wherever the little foxes are, that causes us to fall prey to the spirit of this world, God, that we would just deal decisively with those little foxes, God. And we will not allow divisions. We will not allow our love to grow cold, not for one another, not for you, God, and not for the lost. I pray, God, that our love will increase. I pray, God, that our love will deepen. I pray, God, that our love will expand. I pray, God, that our love will burn hot and not grow cold. Lead us, Holy Spirit. We want to follow you. Lead us, Holy Spirit. We want to follow you. Lead us, Holy Spirit. We want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.